This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Asia Pacific Currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Link. Good morning and welcome to Asia Pacific Currents. It's 1 minute past 9 o'clock here on Community Radio 3CR. I'm Giselle Hanna.
And I'm Pierre Morrow, and I'm happy to be here bringing you a full complement of news from the Asia Pacific region on labour struggles on this nice, sunny but crisp morning here in Melbourne.
And of course, Asia Pacific Currents is brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links, and you can get in touch with us by accessing our website or the www.aawl.org.au. You can email us at aawl@aawl.org.au, like our page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can also ring us on 9663 7277.
So we're always happy to hear from you. And on today's program, in obviously we're going to have in the first half our usual roundup of news from the region. We've got a number of stories, but then in the second half, at about quarter past 9 o'clock, we're going to be interviewing Kumar Gunaratnam, who is a Politburo member of the Frontline Socialist Party of Sri Lanka. Kumar, as some people might remember, became nationally known here in Australia when in April he was actually abducted in Sri Lanka and he was disappeared for a few days. And to be totally honest, he's probably very, very lucky to be alive. So we'll be hearing from him in the second half of the news. But going straight to the news item, and I've got the first one, which is a very sad one. It really relates to abductions and killings. It's from the Philippines, where we've just heard, got news that there's been an extrajudicial killing of a Dutch development worker, Willem Goertman, who was killed on the 3rd of July in Angeles City in the Philippines by unknown gunmen. Willem was a resolute and militant defender of the rights of workers, peasants and the indigenous people. He was the executive director of a development organization called Ally Bayan Inc., or ABI. And he worked very closely with a lot of organizations of workers, including the workers of the Hacienda Luisita. If people remember that there was a massacre of workers there a number of years ago. They've also been part of the People's Opposition to the Aurora Pacific Special Economic Zone and Freeport Project in Kasiguran. He was actually had been tailed before, and it's unfortunate that he was killed. Investigations are going on, but his extrajudicial killing follows that from another recent one of an Italian missionary, Father Postino Pops Tentorio, who was also involved with workers of the Hacienda Luisita. And this follows from another recent murder of Bayan leader Romualdo Palipsis of Aurora. So there you go. So unfortunately, it seems that the extrajudicial killings in the Philippines seem to have restarted again.
Moving now to South Korea. Excuse me. South Korea is bracing for a fresh bout of labour unrest as the country's much weakened trade unions vow to get their demands accepted by launching partial or all-out strikes in major sectors of the economy. And of course, our comrades in South Korea have told us that they are preparing for masses of general strikes in the coming months. Korea's militant unions seem to have been under control in recent years as the Lee Myung-bak administration cracked down on their activities. But they are raising their voices again ahead of presidential elections in December. Unionists at GM Korea, the Korean subsidiary of General Motors, are threatening a partial strike for 3 days next week, the first of the year in the industry. Counterparts at Hyundai Motors, at Kia Motors, are set to vote next week on whether to join the Umbrella Metal Workers Union in a partial strike next Friday, the 13th of July. If they do go on strike, it will be their first in 4 years. And there's more. The Korean Financial Industry Union is threatening an all-out strike at the end of the month, affecting more than 30 financial institutions unless management accepts demands for higher pay, shorter working hours, a later retirement age, and an end to temporary jobs. Workers are also strongly opposed to KB Financial Group's planned acquisition of state-run Woori Financial Group, which they fear will result in job losses. Strikes by well-paid financial workers have failed to win much public support, but they're still used to put pressure on management. Workers at Standard Chartered struck for months last year over the bank's plan to introduce performance-based pay. Industrial action is also spreading to sectors rarely targeted by unionists before. Broadcast workers struck for months this year demanding freedom of expression. Taxi drivers staged a one-day strike for higher fares and lower prices for LPG. And truckers went on strike for better conditions, which we reported on extensively.
That's fantastic, and let's hope our comrades get organised, because Korean strikes are always very good shows. So all our best thoughts with you, comrades. And we go to Sri Lanka, where there's been another attempted abduction of a journalist. Earlier this week, on the 5th of July, there was an attempt to abduct a web journalist, Santha Wijesuriya, who reports for a web paper. Again, it seems that the so-called white vans were involved, and we've reported extensively about the issue of white vans in Sri Lanka. Anyway, Santha saw that a white van was following. Two people got out and tried to catch him, but he managed to fight them off and escape. Now, Santha Wijesuriya is a person who has been targeted by the government because he has written extensively about the link between the Rajapaksa family, which is a government elite family, and criminal elements in the Sri Lanka and underground. And this attempted abduction of Santha Wijesuriya comes very closely following the attack against the Sri Lanka Mirror, a newspaper in Sri Lanka. And it's really another part of the ongoing attempts by the Sri Lankan government to intimidate any reporting of opposition or anything against the government.
And now moving to Iraq in West Asia. Industrial, I think we've spoken about Industrial on the show before. It's a new collection of international secretariats under a banner global union. But Industrial affiliates in Iraq were at the forefront of a major demonstration and picket on the morning of the 25th of June in Basra. Fresh from her election as an executive committee member of the new Industrial Global Union, Heshmaya Mushin El-Saradawi, leader of the Electricity Utility Workers Union, was one of the leaders of the protest, which also included the Iraqi Federation of Oil Unions, the Federation of Workers' Councils Unions of Iraq, and other Basra-based organisations. Protesters marched and chanted slogans denouncing the continued blatant government intervention into internal trade union affairs and the ban on trade union organisations in the public sector.
I just think what our comrades in Iraq are doing is nothing short of heroic there, given the last 10 years of wars and repression, and the courage that they're showing there is amazing. So if I had a hat, I'd take it off and tip it to them. But yes, well done, comrades. And we go nearby to Yemen, where another issue that we reported to you previously is about the cleaners in Yemen, which have really been at the forefront of the anti-government protest over these couple of last years. They're actually threatening to go on a comprehensive strike beginning next Thursday until the demands are met. In a press conference this week, the Yemen's Workers' Union building in Sana'a, the capital, the cleaners said that the rightful demands have not been met. The janitors still suffer from late wages wages and salaries and lack the necessary spare parts for the garbage collecting vehicles. And also they want permanent jobs and not to be on contract or casual employment. So there you go. Again, hopefully you'll go very well and you'll win.
Now, the first of two stories from Turkey. This one relates to some mass arrests we saw on the 25th of June. The ITUC, the International Trade Union Confederation, has strongly condemned the full-scale attacks against Turkey's trade unions carried out by Turkish authorities. In the early hours of Monday, 25th of June, union officers as well as houses of trade union leaders in around 20 cities all over the country were raided and searched, and 71 trade union members and leaders were detained. As has happened on numerous occasions during the years, under the rule of the Justice and Development Party, the AKP, the pretext of the attacks was an operation against an illegal terrorist organisation. While the first link between Turkey's trade union and any real or perceived terrorist organisation has yet to be found, the authorities leave no opportunity untapped to refer to such an alleged link as an excuse for harsh and arbitrary repression. Last year, the ITUC already strongly protested against the misuse of Turkey's anti-terror laws when 25 members of the teachers' union, Egitim Sen, were sentenced to 6 years and 5 months imprisonment by the Izmir Criminal Court. The evidence, in inverted commas, used against those teachers included possession of books that can be found in any bookstore in Turkey and, of course, the holding of a union meeting, which is a terrorist activity as we know. In a letter sent to the Turkish authorities, the ITUC is urging Prime Minister Erdogan to ensure the immediate and unconditional release of all 71 detained trade unionists.
And again, on Turkey, there's ongoing protest. The fact that in early May, the ruling political party proposed an amendment to the article saying that it shall not be lawful to call a strike or order a lockout in following activities in the banking, public notaries or aviation services. There's been a campaign by workers at Turkish Airlines against this, and hundreds of them have received text messages saying they were set without compensation, and we've actually brought that story to you before. And now there's actually been a complaint by the International Transport Workers Federation to the ILO and to the government of Turkey. So we shall follow that and see how it goes. And the last one I've got, just a very quick news from Thailand, where the network of family members and people affected by the Article 112, which is the Les Majestes law, has been formed. And this is a support group for all the over 100 prisoners who are currently in jail in Thailand. And we'll bring you more news and reports in the next few weeks about this new network. So we've just been told that our interview, Kumar, is online, but we'll go for a quick community announcement. Giselle?
That's right, and then we'll return with our feature interview for this morning's program.
This is Irene Bolger, former Secretary of the Nurses Federation in Victoria. Throughout the nurses dispute in 1986, and the waterfront dispute in 1998, 3CR was always there, broadcasting the voices of workers in struggle.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, and we're broadcasting live from the Bay to Chicken Strike here in Melbourne.
We've just seen all of the thousands of nurses walk through to their meeting and people from different unions showing their solidarity.
3CR, radio for the workers, by the workers, since 1976.
It's just on, I can't quite see the clock. I think it's quarter past 9 o'clock here on Asia Pacific Currents, here on 3CR Radio. Asia Pacific Currents brought to you every week by Australia Asia Worker Links. And as mentioned previously at the start of the program, we're very fortunate to have with us Kumar Gunaratnam, who is a Politburo member of the Frontline Socialist Party of Sri Lanka. Good morning, Kumar.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Our pleasure, our pleasure. Now, we really want to discuss about the situation in Sri Lanka, especially among the left, and how it's reorganizing after the end of the war against the Tamils. But given that, Kumar, you're a bit of a public figure now because of what's happened to you in early April, could you just give to our listeners, who just to refresh the memory, what happened to you when you went back to Sri Lanka in April of this year?
Actually, I went to Sri Lanka in September 2011, and I was there nearly almost 7 months before the abduction. And we formed a new left party, and it was about to launch its inaugural convention on the 9th of April. And before 2 days, the armed group, one of the armed groups maintained by the Rajapaksa regime, abducted me on the 7th morning at around 4 a.m. to 5 a.m.
I know that's interesting, because it hadn't come out very well that you'd actually been in Sri Lanka for a number of months. Now, you probably didn't hear, but we actually reported about another attempted abduction in Sri Lanka of a journalist just last week. Now, this has become a major issue in Sri Lanka, hasn't it, that this abduction and disappearances of so-called political opponents of the government?
That's exactly correct, because now 3.5 years, yes, after 3.5 years of the war, now it has already been finished, and the regime, yes, they enjoyed, yes, in elections and everywhere, they enjoyed the support from the voters because of the end of the war, but still they maintain these illegal armed groups to abduct political opponents. And for the last 6 months alone, it was around 40 people have been abducted. So this is, yes, this is the sign, this is the feature of the end, the dictatorial regime in Sri Lanka, and there is a huge cry for established democracy in Sri Lanka.
Now, when you were abducted and you were disappeared for a few days, were you interrogated? And if you were interrogated, what did they want to know?
Actually, the first day, I think they wanted to assassinate me, and it was quite clear because how they treated me, and they humiliated and tortured, and I was sexually tortured in the first 8 to 10 hours. But later on, because they interrogated about my party, our connections and our places, and yes, everything about our future programs, and they interrogated everything about myself and our party. And later on, because of the progressive elements in Sri Lanka and international as well, everybody get together and united to release me. And yes, finally, because of the Australian government intervention, yeah, they had to release me.
We're very, very fortunate, like I said, to have you, and I think it's fantastic that there was enough international pressure to have you released. But just on your case, without looking at all the other disappearances and murders that have happened, was there actually any investigation now that occurred, given that it's obvious that you were abducted by paramilitary forces?
Yes, because the Sri Lankan government forces are very keen, and they said that they eradicated LTTE three and a half years ago. So there cannot be any other armed group operating in Sri Lanka at the moment. And they, not only the armed forces, they have intelligence, and they can grab the information if there is operating any sort of armed group in Sri Lanka. So it's quite clear. And on the other hand, I knew, because I was abducted in the past as well in 1989, so I knew about the armed forces culture. Even though I was blindfolded, I knew that it was armed forces because of the use of the language, how they react to the phone calls, and the way they behaved. And on the other hand, when they had to release me, what they have done is they found a legal way to send me off the country. So they forced me to go to a police station, a police headquarters, and they were expecting me. So there is a connection in between these legal bodies and the illegal armed groups. It's quite clear.
It's obviously clear, but there's been very little investigation. And obviously, Kumar, this reign of terror, I mean, you were in Sri Lanka organising this new group, the Frontline for the Socialist Party of Sri Lanka, for a number of months. It must have quite a repressive outlook on people to try and organise anything in opposition with all these disappearances.
Yes, actually, because of the split in the JVP occurred in 2011, that is the way the Frontline Socialist Party formed. And we, at the moment, we are addressing all the current issues against the government and in unions, trade union sector and students, women and peasants and all other spheres. We are organizing masses against the government and the present situation in terms of economical and in terms of democracy, there's a huge challenge confronting a huge challenge at the moment. So we are mobilizing all the organizations and the masses. So I think that is the main reason that the oppression against us at the moment.
Now, just to focus a bit more on your organising efforts, I mean, Sri Lanka has a very deep and rich past of trade union organising, left-wing organisations and parties. But over the years, unfortunately, we've seen what we can sort of say a lot of sectarianism between various organisations and not wanting to work together. And we saw the very sad split along ethnic lines in Sri Lanka. Do you think that now that the war has finished, there is a more understanding, more willingness to work together among the various left groups?
I think so. I believe that there is a huge opportunity to work together with other left and progressive groups in Sri Lanka. As you mentioned, yes, after the war, now there were 3.5 years now ending of the war. Now there is an opportunity. As you said, there was a sectarian sort of mentality in the trade union sector and the left groups in Sri Lanka. But now we, as a frontline socialist party, now we are going to introduce some new structural changes to the trade union sector. Because early days, the workers divided into different left groups and different trade unions. They are not fighting together. Even one sector, the workers fighting against each other, that was a disastrous situation. It can be manipulated by the regime. So we are going to address all these issues and we are going to form some umbrella organization. For health sector, there is an umbrella organization. Doctors, nurses and laborers are going to be together. And on the other hand, in education, the teachers, students and all to be together. And we are going to introduce some sort of structural changes in trade union sector. And we are going to introduce another new form of structure above the trade unions. It doesn't mean that we are not going to organize trade unions, but we are going to organize some other worker struggle centers. That is the name for that, worker struggle centers, to mobilize all the workers together. So it's quite complicated, Sri Lankan politics and the sectarian sort of mentality, but we are going to address this issue. I think we believe in the near future we can have a different qualitative difference in trade union sector and in the worker sector.
Well, Kumar, that sounds, from what I can hear, very exciting for both workers in Sri Lanka and elsewhere in the region. So we look forward to seeing how that develops. And certainly, like you said, for the working class, for us, unity is strength, and that's really the first step. But as a final question, Kumar, obviously, any political organising, any organising in trade unions in Sri Lanka, one of the big questions is the Tamil question. How is this being played out in Sri Lanka?
Yes, for the last three decades, especially in north and eastern districts, those are the provinces that mostly Tamil people are populated, and another 50% of Tamils are living outside north and east, mostly in Colombo and suburban district. And we didn't have an opportunity to work with Tamil workers and especially peasants because of the war, but there is an opportunity and there is a window. Now we are using this opportunity to mobilize Tamil people. But on the other hand, I wanted to emphasize that for the last three decades, the economy in north and eastern provinces are not, comparatively, it was so low. The industrialization and other, in other areas, it was very low in north and east. So it means that according to the population, the composition of workers are a bit low compared to the south. But we are organizing the trade unions and we are organizing all other sectors, especially the peasants and the fishermen as well. That is how we are going to work with them.
All right, well, thank you very much, Kumar, and we wish you all the best, and we'll certainly keep up to date with the progress and the developments in the left in Sri Lanka. So thank you very much for appearing on our program.
Thank you very much for having me, and my pleasure.
No worries. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Kumar Gunaratman, who is a Politburo member of the Frontline Socialist Party in Sri Lanka, talking about the regroupment that's happening in Sri Lanka and about his arrest in Sri Lanka earlier this year. We'll go to a quick community announcement and then we'll just finish up with the program.
Support independent radio and save on bicycles, books, movies, music, cafes, restaurants, clothes, car accessories, theatre tickets, and more. Become a 3CR subscriber today and reap the benefits of your good sense by gaining discounts at the independent businesses which support 3CR, the 3CR subscriber discounters. Check out the full list of discounts available at 3cr.org.au/subscriber discounters. 3CR, your activist radio station, looking out for you.
I don't know why a piece of the sky was blue and the rest was gray.
That's right, the Connolly Association are beating down the door, which means that's all we've got time for on Asia Pacific Currents for today. Thank you for tuning in to the program. We will be back next Saturday from 9 o'clock. I'm Giselle Hanna.
And I'm Pierre Morrow. And of course, Giselle, what are those numbers if you do want to contact
Quickly, because we don't have time. All the w's.aawl.org.au, and you can ring us on 9663 7277.
And I'm Pierre Morrow. You've been listening to Asia Pacific Currents, the program of Australia Asia Work Links on labour issues in the Asia Pacific region, here on your favourite community radio station, 3CR Radio.
Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.